The Obama administration still has more than a year to go, but it's never too early to start planning for that presidential transition. And while the broad topic of a transfer of power is covered by the Constitution, that doesn't cover all of the requirements of a modern $3 trillion government. John Palguda is vice president for policy at the Partnership for Public Service. He says the real challenge lies in dealing with thousands of management details.
I think some people will be shocked a bit to think about, well, wait a minute, you know, transition, that's, you know, a year and some months away. We haven't even had the election yet. But you're absolutely right. It is not at all too early to be thinking about transition. When you think about it, between the election next November and the inauguration is 77 days, and that is not nearly enough time to figure out how to do that peaceful transition of power to a new team. And it's not just the transition of power. That, in some ways, that's the easy part. That's, you know, in the Constitution, we got the dates. But it's the transition to the management of government, the transition in to a new team to govern at a time where the world is, you know, smaller than ever and the challenges are bigger than ever. And we should be thinking about transition. And there was there's a book that was recently published by Martha Kumar. She's a professor at Towson University, but she's made a bit of a career of looking at and tracking presidential transitions. And she has a new book out. The book is called Before the Oath: How George W. Bush and Barack Obama Managed a Transfer of Power. And we had Clay Johnson, who was, of course, with the Bush administration. He was deputy director of management at OMB, but he also handled the outgoing transition for the Bush administration. And we had Chris Liu over here, who's the executive director, or who was the executive director of the Obama transition. So he was on the receiving end, and he's now, of course, the deputy secretary of labor. And it was really fascinating to listen to them talk about how important it was, what the lessons they've learned, and how difficult it is when you're coming in new, because, you know, both Martha Kumar has been watching this as an outsider. Clay Johnson and Chris Liu were involved in both ends of the administration.
Sure. And what are some of the things they did right in retrospect?
Well, the Bush to Obama administration, and I think correctly, is seen as one of the smoothest transitions that we've had in a long time. And it really started, and the Partnership for Public Service will take a tiny bit of credit because we convened a meeting in Pocantico, New York in 2008. We had representatives from both the Obama and the McCain campaigns there. This is pre-election stuff. And I had the privilege to be there at the meeting. And, of course, we had some folks from the Bush administration there. And it was really very satisfying to see that you had, you know, some top political operatives who, once you got them together in a room and it's, you know, it's off the record, and they're just focusing on what does it take to govern and to manage well this huge enterprise called the federal government, it was a very friendly, productive conversation, because, you know, both the McCain and the Obama teams knew that were their candidate elected, they had to come in and run this thing. And they started really thinking about, well, what does that take? You know, how do you do it? And one of the clear lessons, and so this is to answer your question, Tom, one of the first good things that came out of this was you can't start early enough. That 77 days between election and inauguration, not, you know, that goes in a blink of an eye. So at this little conversation we had over here at the partnership, Clay Johnson talked about the fact that they really started thinking about the possibility of transitioning in back in June of 99, when then Governor Bush told Clay Johnson, you know, I want you to develop a plan for what I would do if I win the presidency, like 18 months from now.
And that's kind of interesting, John, because you mentioned the 77 days back when the inaugurations were in March, when Roosevelt took over from Herbert Hoover. I wonder if it was
You have been around for a while, Tom.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that clearly, waiting around for that. And, you know, and those two sides did not communicate whatsoever.
Yes.
Hoover tried to reach out to the Roosevelt camp, but they would not respond or didn't even acknowledge their existence. So I wonder if it's really the initiative of the people more than the time involved that can affect this.
I think absolutely. Fortunately, you know, back then, you know, we didn't have any major mishaps. But one of the things that, you know, Martha Kumar leads off with in her new book is recounting that during the inauguration, and I guess in 2009 now, for Obama, of course, all the White House staff had moved out, and the new staff were getting ready to move in after the official swearing in. And there was actually an alert. There was a threat of a terrorist attack on the Mall during the inauguration. And can you just imagine what would have happened? It turned out to, you know, not happen. What would have happened had there been this attack and the new team wasn't ready to come in and deal immediately with the repercussions? One of the things that Clay Johnson mentioned in his discussion over here was that the first time the president is in the sit room for the situation room should not be when it's for real. It should not be, Mr. President, come down, or Ms. President, come down to the situation room. We have to deal with something. It's, you know, really you should be very familiar with what happens when there's a crisis. It only happens if you've got, you know, this partnership that's been developed between the outgoing and the incoming team.
John Palguda is Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. And I think what you've been saying, John, really implies the, not stating it outright, the importance of the career workforce in making sure that the transitions really happen smoothly and at all.
Absolutely. The career political interface is so very important. I was a career senior executive in government before I joined the partnership, and I got to work with many different presidential appointees. Some of them were quite good, some of them not as much. But it was very important for me as a career to develop a relationship regardless, because at some point in time, you know, I could be relied upon to take action in a moment of crisis. Now, as an old HR guy, it wasn't as nearly nerve-wracking as it could have been in different jobs or occupations. The political staff has to depend upon the career staff, and the career staff has to be ready to work with a new team regardless of who they are. So in our Ready to Govern initiative, we have, you know, four key things we try to do. First, we try to make sure the new team understands how government works. We do orientation sessions for new appointees. Second, Congress needs to, you know, play their role in ensuring that those new appointees can be cleared if they're Senate confirmed in a reasonable period of time. And that's a daunting process, as you know. And third, government needs to do a better job of preparing the political appointees and the career people to work together. So that's something we're trying to help facilitate here. And then fourth and finally, we need to institutionalize the transition process and create a learning system so that we don't have to, you know, kind of make this stuff up as we go. Bottom line here, campaigns and elections are by nature a political process, and we know that, and that's, you know, that's baked into things. But managing government and effectively dealing with the national challenges that are always arising, whether it be an IT hack or being engaged in a war, what have you, they require great management and great coordination and cooperation among all the players. So as the world becomes smaller and the challenges bigger, a very effective transition in January 2017 needs to start now, and it's going to be essential for not only effective operation of government, but I think really, truly for the country.